from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. If you are on the line, hang in there. I see our guy Don, and then I see everybody's favorite caller, Mitch in New Jersey, trying to call in. But I have already hit the line for Don, so I can't hit the line for Mitch.
Oh.
So I hope Mitch doesn't get mad at me because he keeps ringing. I hope he's listening. Mitch, we see you. Just hang in there, and we're going to get to the phones here in a second. What was happening at the break?
We got beef
with somebody?
No, we're just trash talking. That's all.
I love that. Shout out to the Chatty House. You can join us there at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and of course, you can hit us up at 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
Yo, am I Don today?
I'm sorry, who is this?
This is Leezy the Don.
Oh, Leezy. Okay, hey Leezy, what's going on,
bro? What up, Leezy?
What do you got?
Man, what's popping? Hey guys, I just want to jump in on the conversation.
Please.
So we've been talking about how the Kings need to make a move, and Monty, you can't be patient anymore. A lot of Kings fans, man, I'm getting tired of all of the complaining. They don't want LaVine because of his contract. Okay. You don't want Ingram because he's injury prone. Okay. But at a certain point, we got to take somebody. And I think Kuzma would be the cheapest and easiest and make the best fit.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Thanks, Leezy. That's it. Like, what Leezy just said is it. There are zero players that are going to be realistically available for what the Kings have. And Kenny has said this for weeks now. The player that the Kings go get in a big swing, quote-unquote, is going to have warts.
Yeah.
There's not a perfect player out there. Like, Nikola Jokic is not available for trade. Jason Tatum is not available for trade. Like, that's not it.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram is available because, yeah, you know what? He has some warts. Kyle Kuzma available, same reason.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine available, same reason. It's just, yeah, you gotta weigh the pros and cons. And at some point, okay, you can run it back, but yeah, you're probably going to win between 45 and 48, 49 games and be a back end of the playoffs type of team. You might win around.
You might move up in the playoffs because a couple of teams have injury problems, but
you're relying on other stuff to happen.
Yeah, and we keep talking about this too. I mean, there's potential for the Houston Rockets get much better, for the Utah Jazz, who have a ton of picks over the next few years, to get better, for, heaven forbid, the Memphis Grizzlies to return to the two seed that they were last year. Just keep
it's
ignoring
on the
them.
Table.
Just keep ignoring them, but that's okay.
Also, the Spurs, we have said we're kind of interested in how they're going to go about this rebuild. Do they add a bunch of rookies to pair with Wemby and grow together, or do they? And it's like, nope, they are hitting the accelerator on this. They are ready to trade picks and bring in veterans because they want to contend now.
Yes.
which I think they're going to because Victor Wembanyama is super good. It's really good about.
He's really good. They're again, there are rumors that they're listening to offers for 4 and 8, the fourth pick and the eighth pick to go improve their roster now. And and if a team like Atlanta decides, hey, let's just fold up shop. Let's just go all in on this draft. We can get up to three top 8 picks, number 1, number 4, and number 8.
That'd be crazy.
And we trade Trae Young and he becomes the partner for, you know, Trae Young, and you'd have to take on some assets because Trae Young makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I mean, like, this is wild. We have no idea what's going to happen with certain teams. But also, if, like, you shouldn't be a team that allows all this to happen to you. You should be out there trying to happen to other people.
That's bang on.
Right? Like, I think that might be where we're at here, where it's like, look, you can't just keep waiting and watching and seeing everybody else, you know, get better and have success. And then you sit there stewing because you're not having the same success.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you have to be part of that. And, you know, like, you got to, at some point, like in anything in life, you have to put yourself out there and hope that you can figure it out and hope that it works out for you. But you just sit back and keep wondering why everything good keeps happening to other people. A lot of times it's because you don't put yourself out there and you know, sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes you get burned.
Yep.
But you have to at least try. You have to at least put yourself out there.
Definitely. I am could not be more in the same boat. Like, maybe a swing and miss. Maybe Brandon Ingram comes here and is a disaster.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, your ceiling is way higher. And maybe he comes here and all of a sudden you're in the finals. That's kind of what it is for me. It's time for everybody's favorite segment. Mitch in New Jersey is on the line at 916-909-1320. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Kyle, James. Thanks again. Checks in the mail. Just kidding. I want to see them keep their all their assets.
Oh.
How many times have we missed? When we're picking high, we miss by one. Or we chose the wrong guy, apparently. And then when we're picking, even, you know, other teams get somebody, get gems in the late first round, second round, that's what I'm doing. And I'd rather have Ingram than Kuzma. And Kuzma, this speed is 14. And he's not even 30. He's like 27.
Yeah.
To be on his 14 and 27, that was that say? And one guy that might be available, I think he'd be interested in LeBron. You got to throw out the bait. I'm sure he's going to want his $50 million. Throw the bait, draft Bronny, and that will be the bait. Reel him in, baby. I want to see who. Can we draft somebody like Cody Williams at 13? If he's there, I hope.
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about Cody Williams.
Yeah.
But you okay,
so I said my piece.
Perfect. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow, Mitch. draft Bronny, throw the bag at LeBron.
Okay.
Thoughts?
The only problem is you don't have the bag to throw at LeBron.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that I think for starters, like,
I think Mitch was having a fun there.
I think so too. And like, look, I think it's there are ways to improve this team without like trying to. We try to be somewhat realistic.
Usually,
right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't like the Kings don't have. I don't believe they don't have the assets to go get like Donovan Mitchell if he becomes available. And
not without putting Keegan Murray on the table.
And 4 firsts.
Yeah. Like okay. That's going to be a heavy, heavy trade.
Yes.
That, by the way, every team with any kind of assets is going to be involved in.
Yeah.
That's another reality of this situation.
Yeah. And I think that's where the Kings have to like live in a different world. That's it. Sacramento always does. You're never going to be a free agent hotbed. You're always going to have to kind of play on the fringe. But then when someone becomes available that might work in your system, you gotta swing for the fences here. And not only that, but I think swing for the fences once, twice, like maybe even 3 times. There's a way to get Kuzma. There's a way to get Jonas Valanciunas, and there's a way to add another player.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to live in that world where that's a possibility. And you also have to know when you make a move for a guy like Kuzma, like what do you do with the rest of the power forwards you have stacked up? Like there's going to have to be adjustments. There's going to have to be all kinds of things that you have to do if you're going to jump back in the conversation.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of landed on Mikal Bridges, right? if there was a player that was going to be available that would fit like perfectly as a third, sometimes second, sometimes fourth option, but is going to play great perimeter defense, could play the two, the three, depending on the team, he can play the four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like, he's the guy, right? Where if you're trying to eliminate warts, like that's probably the one. But there was a report today from Kevin O'Connor that the Nets are not interested in moving him.
Yeah.
And they're trying to build around him. So that means, okay, and maybe that's a play for the public. And maybe they're trying to drum up his trade value.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it, 5 first round picks last year?
2 years ago. Yeah, when he got traded there a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. someone offered 5 first round picks at that point.
Yeah, like, I think he's still a young enough player that the Nets believe that with Jordy Fernandez there, that they can still build around him and Cam Johnson, and maybe they bring back Nick Claxton and
yeah.
try and build a contender there in the East. But I don't think he's going to be realistically available. And if he is, then I think you're going to see teams like Oklahoma City with all their assets activate. And you're going to see any other team that has anything to trade activate to try and go get Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, there's even word that like Houston is waiting for this moment. And since Houston has a bunch of the Nets picks, that they could give the Nets their picks back from the Harden deal, right?
Yeah.
So
that'd be nuts.
Yeah. So they have the 2024 first round pick from Brooklyn. They have a 2025 from...
And enticing young players.
Yeah.
Who they could also include in that deal.
Yep. They have Brooklyn's 2026.
Man.
They have pick swaps. They have Brooklyn's 20... I think they have Brooklyn's 2027.
Good
as
Lord.
A pick swap. Yeah, so there's a possibility there, but I don't know. Like, you got to be realistic about the players that you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking pie-in-the-sky crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as we joked around the one day about going out and drafting Bronny and then...
Yeah.
And then signing LeBron to a minimum deal. And hey, heaven forbid the Kings do that. They're a contender tomorrow.
Just
so people know.
But also,
it's not real.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're trying to play in a world that is real and that does make sense. And it's not like we could come up with like 8 trades and none of them could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just trying to sit here and like have a conversation about the general idea of improving the team and how to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's put a pin in that for now. Let's get to good idea or bad idea. You put these in today.
I did.
3 things happening in the sports world. We'll decide if those are good or bad ideas. You can play along at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Jump in the chatty house there and let us know good idea or bad idea. And then at 11:30, our buddy Jason Timpf, who covers the NBA for The Volume, will preview the NBA finals with us. He's a ton of fun to talk basketball with. You'll really enjoy that. That's coming up at 11:30 on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Zach, I'm in a sports leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Coming out with us in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. You can also give us a call at 916-909-1320. We've got some good idea or bad idea coming up. 3 things happening in the news. We determine if those things are a good or a bad idea. But a good idea for you would be entering for a chance to win WWE tickets at Golden 1 Center on September 20th. That's right. You have a chance to win now. The WWE is coming to Golden 1 Center on September 20th, and all you have to do to win tickets is go online at ESPN1320.com and fill out the online entry form for a chance to win lower-level tickets to the event. Don't miss a star-studded night. James, you and I are fired up for this. The lineup includes, and this lineup is subject to change, but right now the lineup includes Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, your guy AJ Styles, Bianca Belair, Bobby Lashley, The Street Profits, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa, and many, many more. Tickets available online now at Ticketmaster.com. Can't wait. I'm fired up.
Yeah.
Love WWE. I can't wait to get my tickets at Ticketmaster.
Okay. Mm. It's a good place to catch Deuce Mason.
Oh, Deuce is going to be on one that night. It's going to be good.
Yeah, he's a big, big fan.
So are D'Lo and KC and Jesse. I don't want to put anything on them. I wouldn't be shocked if they were all out there. I have no idea what their plans are. All right, good idea or bad idea. The first thing, Shams Charania reported. Adrian Wojnarowski has not reported anything on this, but Shams Charania has reported that the Los Angeles Lakers are zeroing in on J.J. Redick as the front runner for franchise's next head coach, league and industry sources say. Good idea or bad idea for the Lakers to hire J.J. Redick, former NBA player, Duke legend, current podcaster.
I think it's a great idea.
From whose perspective?
I hope that they sign him to a 5-year deal with worth like $15 million a year, and I hope that it goes perfectly swell for them. Like, to me, I don't, like, again, we have to see what he is as a coach, but I would have liked to have seen maybe him work as an assistant before, maybe him work on a bench before and understand like what that job is. And, you know, he is able to manage like his ESPN hits, sometimes calling a game and still having a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So he can multitask.
Yeah.
He's a bright guy. There's
very
no
smart.
Question.
Very smart.
He knows the game.
Yes.
But being an NBA head coach, especially in a pressure cooker like LA,
mm-hmm.
and in a situation where you literally hold the final 1 or 2 years of LeBron James' career in your hands,
mm-hmm.
that seems a little strange to me, that a franchise would go that direction, not give LeBron the best possible way to get something, you know, like find success in his final years.
I don't hate the idea, actually. And Solo Sikoa, sorry, I had Ahsoka Tano in my head when I read that. Solo Sikoa is the wrestler. My bad. Anyways, I got Zabo is making fun of me.
Got it.
I think it's fine from a theoretical standpoint if J.J. Redick is a player, because like the talent's there, right? And if J.J. Redick is going to be a coach who's going to come in, who's talked to LeBron, who has ideas about ways they're going to maximize him and Anthony Davis and Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura and whoever else is going to be around, and he can call timeouts at the right time, which is apparently a big issue with Darvin Ham, it's a little bit of a plug-and-play type of scenario where you need more of a game manager from a coach than a, like, tactician, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, is anybody going to listen to him? J.J. Redick was a really, really high-quality NBA player. This is not disrespect to J.J. Redick. But he was not Bill Russell. He was not Larry Bird. Like, he's not... He was...
He's not even Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, right. He's not even Steve Nash, or pick your favorite player who's become a coach. And he's been LeBron's buddy. They're drinking wine together, talking basketball on Mind the Game, their podcast. If you're a young player... You're like, who the hell is this guy? I barely remember J.J. Redick playing. And when he did, he was playing for, I forget where he ended his career, the Clippers or whatever.
Or Philly, one of the
Philly,
two.
That's right. Yeah, he was with Philly. Yeah, and he was a just kind of spot-up shooter for the Sixers. Like, who the hell is this guy? Is he going to tell LeBron what to do? Like, I don't know, man. I get it, I guess, in theory. They had to make a change at the head coaching spot. I don't know who's out there who would have been like necessarily better. They've tried the Frank Vogel idea, didn't work. They've tried the Darvin Ham thing, didn't work. I don't know what better option there was for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they go either, but it just seems like a really, really good seasoned head coach Maybe. Guy who's had like a crazy track record of success, mm-hmm. and might be able to get, you know, whether it's a gimmicky or whatever.
Or maybe the Lakers are just weird as hell because of the LeBron aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need a guy who doesn't know how weird it is.
Okay.
They just need a coach who doesn't know how different it is to be a head coach there.
Yeah.
Who's just going to kind of step in day one and be like, oh, this is how things are. Okay.
Hey, it's possible that he steps in and does like and becomes like a Steve Kerr type.
No doubt.
But you better surround him with the best of the best of the best assistant coaches.
Yep.
Because it puts him in a really difficult situation.
Yep.
Like, if he doesn't know like when to call a timeout, he doesn't know the functions of some of this stuff mm-hmm. that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tough. It's why, again, we talk about the Kings have a process for young coaches coming through that they have them go coach a summer league team.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way they start getting the idea of what it is to coach a team.
Right.
Like, right, summer league starts in like 3 weeks. And last time I checked, J.J. Redick is not coaching the, well, maybe 4 weeks, but he's not coaching the Los Angeles Lakers summer league team. He doesn't maybe even have that under his belt. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, fingers crossed for him, it's not a disaster. But if it is, better for the Kings. Number two. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. That was so nice. Number two. The A's last night announced a crowd just shy of a sellout, 5,624 fans. That was just over the amount announced by the Oakland Ballers, the minor league, Pioneer League team that debuted in Oakland on Tuesday. 4,200 people at the Oakland Ballers game. Good idea or bad idea for the A's to finish this season in Oakland?
Well, I think it's a bad idea. I think like what they've done there is just like how embarrassing this is getting for the league, everything else. We're going to get to some point in the season where half of their roster is just going to get poached by other teams, mm-hmm. and they're going to be starting over again with more guys who didn't make it somewhere else and maybe can make it with you. This is a really, really difficult situation. And shout out to the Oakland Ballers for like that. That's cool. An independent league team.
It looks so much fun.
Yeah. They're bringing, it's a vibrant fan base. They mm-hmm. want baseball mm-hmm. and they want ownership that cares. And it doesn't matter how bad the players are, as long as they're trying to build something and they're, you know, doing the right things. Yeah, I think it's a really weird situation. But, and also the announcer, the Seattle announcer, like he's like, I don't think there's 5,624, like whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I think the Ballers outsold like the Oakland A's yeah. tonight.
They definitely, they like for sure outsold A's fans, right?
Yeah.
Like they,
oh yeah, yeah. There was a bunch of Seattle Mariners fans.
Yeah, because people come down. Yeah. I think rough. It's fine. Selfishly, I'm going to go to a couple more games.
Okay.
In Oakland. That's a special place for me, so I would like them to play there as long as humanly possible. So I think it's fine. But good on the Oakland Ballers as well for, like you said, kind of giving back to the community. And there's already been pieces written about how just what they've done to that ballpark and that area of town. It's already created more of a buzz and a little bit of more of a vibrant area of town.
More than what the A's have done for the Oakland Coliseum area, for sure.
Boy, a lot more. Last one, very quickly. A person named Lamar Bo Jackson Jr. is a high school running back who has committed to Ohio State. He has no relation, A, to Lamar Jackson, either one, the quarterback or the cornerback, and he also has no relation to Bo Jackson. So, James, I ask you, is it a good idea for a high school kid to pick up the nickname of a legend?
Yeah, I'm going to say no. Like, you're putting a weird... He's the number 9 running back in the country,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to a great program, for sure. But your name is Bo Jackson Jr. That's what you're going by, Bo Jackson Jr. You're not Bo Jackson Jr. You're Lamar Jackson Jr. Mm-hmm. You're not that Lamar Jackson Jr. You're some other Lamar Jackson Jr.
Which is tough in itself.
Which is tough in itself, but, like, I think people who don't pay attention are going to be like, oh, that's Bo Jackson's kid. Like, I got, oh, well, he's not very, he doesn't look like Bo.
I have no idea. I've never heard of this person until you wrote his name on the rundown.
Yeah, I just.
So let me say this. This is a great idea from a marketing standpoint. Because if Bo Jackson Jr. stinks at football and does nothing at Ohio State and transfers to Willamette College and finishes out his career there, then nobody cares.
Yep.
But if he's good, and he is all of a sudden this marketable star with NIL deals and stuff like that.
Yep.
Where now you can bring Bo Knows back into the fold, and you might be able to bring Bo Jackson into the fold to do some marketing stuff. Oh. This is brilliant.
Okay.
It puts the expectation extremely high, no doubt.
Yes.
But he was already there with Lamar Jackson Jr. And again, he was born he was born well before Lamar Jackson, the Ravens quarterback, was a 2-time NFL MVP.
Yeah.
But it was already going to be tough. So Bo Jackson Jr., yeah, good on you. I'm rooting for him. We got to go. Jason Timpf, he covers the NBA for The Volume. He does a ton of great work on YouTube and on Twitter. One of my very favorite people to talk hoops with and to listen to talk hoops. He's coming up next to preview the NBA Finals with me and James here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Radio.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Let's talk NBA Finals. It feels like it's been 6 weeks since NBA basketball has been on, but the finals start tomorrow. In fact, we're carrying every single finals game right here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins tomorrow for Game 1 between the Celtics and the Mavericks at 4:30. But to preview the finals now, coverage begins for us right now with Jason Timpf. He is the host of Hoops Tonight for The Volume. Check him out on YouTube. He's got stuff up there right now on Boston's offense, Dallas's offense. He's got a finals mailbag in there and his prediction. So Jason, we're not going to ask you for a prediction today. We're going to direct people to your YouTube channel to get your official prediction. You're welcome.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm excited to talk some hoops. I think this is going to be a fun series. It's been a little bit of a weird playoffs, especially because of how lame the Eastern Conference was. But if you had to pick a final, like this or Boston-Denver or Boston-Minnesota all would have been really good, and I'm just glad we got one of those three.
You mentioned the East being a little lame. Does that change anything for you and how you're viewing Boston going into this series?
No, I mean, it's one of those things where it's a plot line here. Like, obviously, Boston had an easier pathway. I think the East, it wasn't just that the East was weak too. There were injuries. Like, I actually think there were five good teams in the East. I think that a healthy Pacers, healthy Knicks, healthy Bucks, healthy Sixers, I think all four of those teams are on similar-ish tiers to, or a tier, I should say, to those teams in the Western Conference. It's just the bottom of the East was atrocious. And so when those four teams all basically succumbed to injuries, it turned out that there wasn't a single team that could even hope to compete with Boston.
You know, Jason, I think one of the interesting things watching the Western Conference is it felt like every single round there was a bad matchup for somebody that caused the one team to win and another team to go home. Do you remember another point? I mean, sure, like no one knew how to defend Michael Jordan. He was a matchup problem for everybody. But in this one, it almost feels like Team A couldn't beat Team B, but Team B could beat Team C, and Team C could beat Team A, but they couldn't beat Team D. And it felt like the entire playoffs played out in this weird way where, again, Denver couldn't beat Minnesota, but Minnesota couldn't even hang with Dallas. And it just felt there's a strangeness to this Western Conference.
Yeah, it's like a bizarre, like, reverse transitive property thing that's going on. What's interesting is when I was putting together my contender lists, I specifically mentioned from 3 to 10 in my list, which started, I had Dallas at 3. So I had Denver 1, Boston 2, and I thought those two were like a tier above the rest. Mm-hmm. And then I had Dallas at 3, and then I think I went like Clippers, Lakers, Thunder, Wolves, something like along those lines. And the way that I looked at it in my going into the playoffs, I literally said like 3 through 10, I view them all kind of on the same tier, and it's all going to be about matchups and who they catch and if their strengths and weaknesses kind of line up appropriately. It just turned out that Denver also had a specific matchup weakness, which was when you could match up with their interior size, and as long as you had a defender that could chase Jamal Murray around and make things tough for him, you can cause some problems for their offense. And they really, really dragged Denver's offense down into the mud for extended stretches of that series. But to me, it's just part of what makes basketball so fascinating is like, it really doesn't matter what you did in the regular season or what you did in the last series. It's like, how does your team match up with the team that you're playing? And I actually think that's a really interesting kind of initial way to look at the NBA finals, in the sense that I view Dallas's defense as very much a load up the strong side type of defense. And what I mean by that is they don't have 5 great defensive players. Mm-hmm. They've got guys that do their jobs. Like, I don't think PJ Washington is a great defensive player. I don't think Kyrie Irving is a great defensive player. I think Derrick Jones is, and I think that their rim protectors are in specific, but even then it's like in specific ways. I think Daniel Gafford is a really good rim protector in a deep drop coverage when he's not playing against really good pull-up shooters. I think he's really good off the ball when he can sag off of a non-shooter in the dunker spot and just kind of hang out around the rim, but I don't think he's great in space. Lively, I think, is a great defensive player that can cover in space and cover at the rim, but those are really the only two strong points of the defense, really that point of attack role and that rim protector role. And so when you're playing the Clippers, who play a bunch of non-shooters, when you're playing the Thunder, who play some guys that are inconsistent shooters, when you play that Minnesota Timberwolves team that were, there was like 3 guys on the floor at any given time that you could just sag off of, it really allowed Dallas to load up on the strong side and cause a lot of issues. Boston is literally the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. On both ends of the floor too, like offensively, they're very much a spread you out, test you with drive and kick. We can attack your offense from every single angle, or your defense, excuse me, from every single angle. Whereas Minnesota really could only attack it through those same 2 entry points. Karl Anthony Towns looking to drive, Anthony Edwards looking to drive with Gobert clogging things up in the paint. And so I view this as like the next matchup in that line. And it's one of the big reasons why I'm worried for Dallas is this is not the kind of defense that is built to guard the Boston Celtics. Ironically, you want a defense more like the Celtics, which is less on rim protection, but more on having 4 dudes who can all guard the ball. Like, right. That, it's super fascinating to me. It's what I love about the game of basketball. It's why these things are so hard to predict. It's just every individual matchup is so different.
Jason Timp, the host of Hoops Tonight on The Volume. We always talk about in a series, like, man, it's just going to come down to who has the best player. And for me, I think the Mavs probably have the best player in this series. But you just mentioned all the different role players for the Mavs and just kind of the way they have worked in unison to defend the teams that they've faced and how that won't necessarily work against the Celtics. So is this a series where with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on one side and with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic on the other side, where the role players and Boston superiority there might actually be the reason they win the series?
Yeah, it's more to me about like whether or not you're set up to stop their best thing that they like to do. So for instance, like when it comes to Minnesota, because of the fact that Luka was too big for all of their perimeter defenders, mm-hmm. and because Luka was capable of kind of manipulating the Rudy Gobert in that rim protection position, and because one of the other important details too is like they consistently were able to attack the center and bring Lively and Gafford as rim rollers. Mm-hmm. Boston is probably going to put Porzingis on PJ Washington, which fundamentally changes the entire way they attack. Boston puts Tatum on centers all the time. They put Tatum on centers so they can switch those ball screens. And so one of the things that Boston can do is they can neutralize the vertical spacing of Lively and Gafford by just switching those ball screens. If PJ Washington rolls into the rim, he's just not the same type of vertical spacer that those centers are. And he's also, if he's popping to the three-point line, he's an elite corner three-point shooter, but he's a bad above-the-break three-point shooter. And so Boston is set up to slow down some of the things that Dallas likes to do. Is Dallas set up to slow down some of the things Boston likes to do? No, not in my opinion, because of the fact that they have so many different ways that they can look to attack. I guess my guess is Luka's going to be on Drew. Don't be surprised if Drew is operating as a screener or even on the ball just a ton in this series mm-hmm. to get the defense in rotation. And so Boston's going to be able to consistently get the defense in rotation and play their Boston Celtic drive and kick basketball, whereas I think Dallas is going to struggle a little bit just based on some of the things Boston can do to counter the way they attack. And so, again, I don't think it's fair to just look at role players because these are two very different teams. Boston is like a weird kind of pseudo five-star build, right? Mm-hmm. Like they got five dudes who, if they were all free agents tomorrow, who'd make over $30 million.
Yep.
But Dallas is two stars and a bunch of play finishers. These are guys who specialize in just catching and finishing lobs or driving closeouts or shooting catch-and-shoot threes. And so I don't think that's the way to look at it. It's more just to me in terms of the way the teams match up. Boston has some cards they can play to counter what Dallas does, and Dallas is a little bit more limited in that regard on the other end.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think that the way that we saw Minnesota, basically Gobert got played off the court or he became a problem for them. I don't see that there's a way that Dallas can like specifically single out a player, whether it's Horford or whether it's, you know, Porzingis, because they have two great on-ball defenders and then a bunch of other guys that are really, really good on ball defenders as well. But how do you think that that matchup with Derek White and Drew Holiday against Kyrie and against Luka, and not only that, but you're able to match up their two best offensive weapons with your two best defensive weapons who just don't happen to be your best offensive weapons. So you're kind of able to send a couple of guys at their stars and have your stars maybe have a little more freedom.
Yeah, so one of the advantages with Boston is their ability to switch. Like, I actually do think Jaylen Brown will get the Luka assignment to start, but Drew Holiday will spend a lot of time on him as well. But Boston pretty much just concedes switches on every 1-4 type of action. Like, if Kyrie goes and screens for Luka, you know, Drew Holiday I expect to start on Kyrie. Drew will just switch right onto Luka, and Jaylen will take Kyrie, and they'll just kind of live with that, right? The thing is like, they're not worried about that specific spot because Luka's going to have an advantage against everybody. I even looked at the tape, and even Tatum struggles to guard Luka. Everyone struggles to guard Luka. He's Luka Doncic,
ridiculous,
right?
Like, yeah.
Exactly. And so the main point of function there is like, there's a vertical spacing element that comes from rolling hard to the rim in a ball screen, and then there's a vertical spacing element that comes out of the dunker spot. And they're both very different. And if you can switch ball screens involving the center because of Tatum, that takes away the roll gravity piece that you get from Gafford and Lively. Whereas if it's in a dunker spot type of position, let's say that Luka's running a ball screen and he's bringing PJ Washington into the screen, Lively still has to be somewhere. Gafford still has to be somewhere. They're going to be sitting right under the basket, which is where Tatum's going to be. And he's this 6'9 freaky athlete that can make contests at the rim and clean up the defensive glass and all those sorts of things. And so, like, honestly, the personnel on Luka to me is, I think Boston knows they can't guard Luka one-on-one, mm-hmm. but what they can do is they can force him to shoot shots over the top and at least kind of live with the results a little bit. They also have a ton of speed on the perimeter if they need to blitz or double and kind of rotate around. That's something that Boston does really well. It's so crazy because I even look at it like Derek White's going to guard Derek Jones Jr. And Derek White's one of the best rim protecting guards in the league. Like, he's just so good at coming over and blocking shots. And so, like, let's just be 100% authentic here. I'm not a huge fan of the Celtics team. And there's a bunch of different reasons for that. I'm not a huge fan of the way they play. During the regular season, like when I'd have to cover them and watch them, I'd find them miserable to watch because they'd shoot, 47 threes, and just there's so little value in each individual possession. And they're so much better than everybody that they don't have to play good basketball to win most of the time, too. Like that kind of thing really rubs me the wrong way as a basketball fan. Whereas you look at Dallas and it's like they have literally optimized and perfected this roster in like the best possible way, right? But make no mistake, it doesn't matter what we think about Boston or whether or not we like them or whether or not we think Tatum's the best. They just have a ton of talent, just an obnoxious amount of talent that can do so many different things on the court, and it just makes it a lot easier to win basketball games, to put it simply.
Yeah, definitely. Jason Tipp, host of Hoops Tonight on The Volume. I hear a lot about Kristaps Porzingis and how much Kristaps Porzingis matters to the Celtics. It looks like he's going to be available in some capacity for game one. How much does he matter in this series by being on the court?
So to put it simply, if you think about the construction of Dallas's defense, they have Derrick Jones Jr., who's this really, really athletic, lanky perimeter defender. He's actually been really good. I'd argue he's been the best veteran minimum signing in the league this season. And then you have the second piece of your pick and roll coverage, which is the big man, right? Lively and Gafford. Lively, I think, is better than Gafford, but Gafford has his own kind of strengths there. That's the bracket, the two sides of the bracket of your pick and roll coverage. Well, against Minnesota, because Gobert is just such a poor role man, because he's just not a guy that can catch and finish around the basket easily. Shot below 50% on layups in this postseason run, which is like putrid.
That's crazy.
Right? Like they have all those issues, right? But when they've encountered other teams with shooting bigs, like, so for instance, when they face Chet shot 22% from three in that series. Chet is not as good a three-point shooter as Kristaps Porzingis. Also, they could help elsewhere on the floor because of Lu Dort, because of Josh Giddey, because of Aaron Wiggins, Kayson Wallace, some of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. This series is very strange in the sense that Porzingis is going to be picking and popping, and when he's off the ball, he's going to be spacing, but above the break, and Kristaps loves to shoot at like 26, 27 feet from the rim confidently. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where, like, Lively and Gafford, their initial kind of instinct is going to be to protect the rim. And by the way, I expect Jason Kidd to say early in the series, leave Kristaps open. Let's see if he can make them. Because step one is see if the dude's going to choke under the pressure. That's always the first. Because, like, if he misses two or three in a row to start the game and he gets a little nervous and he starts tinkering with his form, then it could go off the rails and then everything could be great. We've seen that happen in NBA history. Look at, Harrison Barnes. Look at Michael Porter Jr. last year, things like that. So, like, I think they'll leave him open to start. But if Kristaps hits a couple threes in the first quarter of game one and all of a sudden it just kind of throws Dallas out of their base defensive scheme, all of a sudden, when you don't have that back line there, it puts so much more pressure on your perimeter defenders, which Dallas has like two of them that are really good, and Josh Green and Derrick Jones Jr. And then, like, Kyrie can do it. PJ Washington can do it, but they're not great at it. And Boston's got a lot of talent. And so, again, it's just, to put it simply, it's a spacing five, but also in the context of a team where their top eight players are all good shooters. So it's just going to just rip apart Dallas's help defense in a way that they didn't face in the first few rounds.
Poor Harrison Barnes.
Yes, shots fired.
Shots fired. Yeah, Harrison Barnes has drawn a lot of ire.
But
Harrison Barnes
is a good shooter. Like, that's the thing. Barnes is a good shooter, and, like, Cleveland took a risk. They left him open a lot, and it paid off, because I don't know if you guys remember this, but, like, intimately. Kyle, I'm sure you do. Yeah. Like, he was off, like, way off.
Not
like,
even
he was
close.
He was missing outside the rim on the majority of those. Like, you could tell the moment got to him a bit.
Yeah, it was that was tough. It was tough for old Kyle back then. last one for you. To you as a player, and I know this gets outside of the realm of, film and breaking the game down like you do so well on Hoops Tonight, but does Jason Tatum have anything left to prove to you?
That's a loaded question, because, like, I already feel like we know what Jason Tatum is, which is which is probably the best of the non-top tier superstars, right? Like if you're putting him in that group with guys like Anthony Davis, guys like I think Joel Embiid's kind of in this tier a little bit right now, although Joel I think has the upside to move out of that tier. I think at like so the, just those guys that are clearly behind the that Luka, Giannis, Jokic kind of tier. In that tier, I think Tatum has proven that he is probably the best of those guys. But it really is this simple to me. He's like a Swiss Army knife. He can do everything, right? But he's just not good enough as a shot creator in the half court to put himself on the level of the guys above, which is, in my opinion, the most important trait in sports. Like you have to be that type of guy, right? And so I think Tatum's a little underrated by people outside of Boston, because I don't think people understand how good he is as a playmaker, how versatile he is defensively. And him being kind of passive and selfless is actually perfect for this roster because they have so many good players. Like if he would hijack possessions if he was a different type of guy, and that would actually hurt the team. Right. So like he's a good fit there, but I think he's a little overrated by the Boston fans, who I think want him to be included in that top tier, but I don't quite think he's there. I don't think he necessarily has anything to prove because he is who he is. Like even if he wins the title, and I'll ask this to you guys, even if Tatum won the title this year, it wouldn't make him the best player in the world, in my opinion. Would you guys feel the same way?
Yes, I would feel that way.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you, and that's why it's so tough, because everything I feel like is so absolute now. This player is either great or they're trash. And if you're not, if you're not winning the finals, then it's like, well, you have, then you stink. Like me, like I have Luka ahead of Jason Tatum, and I feel fine about that. And I feel fine about that if Boston wins in four. Like I think that you probably hit the nail on the head with, like, he's largely underrated. But at the same time, like, that's kind of how it goes. Like, until you win a title, you're going to be that guy that everybody's like, nope, can't get it done.
Yeah. He's a good playmaker who's nowhere near as good as the top playmakers in the league. He's a mediocre pull-up shooter. Mm-hmm. He's a mediocre rim finisher. Doesn't have a great first step. His shot selection in general, I think, is atrocious. Like, he settles for the pull-up jump shot on about like almost a half of his possessions, even though he's not good at it. Yeah. And he hasn't been good at it for years. So like, if you really parse it down into those individual offensive skills, he's just not very good at those specific things. But like, it's just, you watch him and it's like, oh, Obi Toppin just tried to isolate him. That was a bad idea. Oh, they were able to put him on the center. Like, he's going to spend time on Luka in this series. Like, he's just so good at everything else that I think it kind of makes up for a lot of that.
Hoops tonight on The Volume. Check him out on YouTube. He is Jason Timpf. He is one of the smartest basketball people I know. You're going to want to check out his coverage throughout the NBA Finals at The Volume. Again, that is Hoops tonight. Jason, thanks so much for hopping in with us, man. And glad your Wi-Fi is working again. That is my literal nightmare, is my Wi-Fi suddenly going out overnight.
It was a little bit of a crisis, but we're through it. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm looking forward to next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jason. Here he goes. Jason Timpf right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Yeah, man, I the more I think about this, and we'll dig into this more tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the more I listen to people smarter than me talk about, because look, I watched some Celtics games this year, but not nearly on the level the guys like Jason and other people watch. Same thing with Dallas. I think the more I hear people talk about this, and the more I hear people break down matchups and this and that, I think the Celtics are going to roll in the finals.
Yeah,
and win it in like four or five games. And we are going to get on the air, and the general consensus is going to be like, oh, yeah, duh.
They should have.
67 games or 68 games or whatever insane number of games they won. They're just the best team in the league. And I think that because of podcasts, and because we do this on radio, and because now so many people love and talk sports, and we've had 2 weeks to suss this out now, you're going to talk yourself into all these different scenarios. And yeah, sure, there are a million different ways the finals could go. And there are so many different things. Could swing a game here and swing a game there, and all of a sudden we're in game seven. But I think at the core of it, Boston's just the best team in the league and has been all year. It's not some new thing where, hey, they're playing really well the last month. Like, nah, man, they've just been the best team since October.
Dude, they won 64 games. They're 14 games above the second place team in the Eastern Conference.
Just dominant.
Just absolutely dominant. And I think that they're a team that it's just a matchup nightmare. Every position you look, is a matchup nightmare. And they've done a great job of assembling a incredible core. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, if they can win two, three championships, but they're right there. I think it's interesting, the Tatum discussion. I don't even think if he wins the MVP of the finals and they win the title, I still don't even think he's an MVP candidate next year as well.
Well, he's been like an MVP candidate, right? Like he's right there year in and year out because Boston's always so freaking good.
Yeah, but he finishes out of the top three.
Yeah, but I'm not betting on him to win it. But he's the best player on the best team.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what it comes down to. If they hoist a banner, which I think they're going to, then so be it. Here, let's run through this real quick. We have 50 seconds. 5-0. Top 8 players in the finals.
Yep.
It's Luka.
Yep.
Tatum.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown?
I'm putting Kyrie there.
Okay, but then Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
Then Derek White.
Probably Drew.
Drew.
Then Derek White.
Porzingis?
Yep.
Okay, we're 7 in. We have 2 Mavericks.
Maybe PJ Washington
now
next.
Maybe you get to PJ Washington today.
Maybe. It's crazy. That Boston team is
what a ridiculous basketball team.
Yeah, they are stacked.
The finals begin tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Coverage begins at 4:30. As for me and James, we're out of here for today. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. with more of the Insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, I'm going to try something new today. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Blue!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.